I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is a special Olympic edition of the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Ahead of London 2012, I've been speaking to the Times Olympic coordinator, David Chappell. David, as journalists, it must be the highlights of a career to be able to cover an Olympic Games at home. It's an incredible thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've been to two, Sydney and Athens, and I can say that being in Olympic City at the time of the Games is just the most exciting part of my career and anyone else's career. And to see what's going to be happening over the next 17 days or so is going to be remarkable. There'll be great drama, there'll be great surprises, there'll be great feats, there'll be records, and the Times and the Sunday Times will be there to record them all.
And just moving on to the events themselves, obviously there's a huge amount of buzz about cycling at the moment after that extraordinary performance from Bradley Wiggins, and not just him, of course, Mark Cavendish, Chris Froome, all the guys on Team Sky. Do you feel that Team GB can carry that on and really dominate the cycling events as they did in Beijing?
Yes, I do. I was very encouraged with what happened with the Tour de France, obviously, particularly with Bradley Wiggins. But Chris Froome showed himself to be a really top-flight competitor as well. And I think as a result of what we saw, particularly at the end of last week, with Cavendish winning a couple of stages as well, that we're going to see another very successful cycling campaign. In Beijing, the British won 14 medals and 8 gold medals. And while some of the events that they won there won't appear in the programme here, we do think that they will be successful. If you saw David Brailsford, the excellent director of the British cycling team, on the finish line, he was asked by some British fans how many gold medals he thought Britain would win, and he mouthed 5 from what we could see. They've been reluctant to put targets to it. But I think the Times experts would say that we could do better than that, and there are good 8 gold medal chances. And Cavendish in the road race and Bradley Wiggins, particularly in the time trial, should be very close. And Wiggins showed himself to be the best time trialer of them all. He'll face competition from Fabian Cancellara and Tony Martin, and actually from Chris Froome himself. So we could really look at a very successful time trial. And for Cavendish, the opportunity to get the British campaign off to a great start on Saturday. That's the road, and we shouldn't forget that the women have strong chances in the road race and time trial as well. On the track, I think there are 6 really good opportunities for us, and we should look out for Laura Trott, who looks to be a great contender in 2 events, the women's team pursuit and in the Omnium. And the interest there, I think, will be how the British can deal with the Australians, what they're dubbing the battle, the ashes on wheels at the moment. But the women's team pursuit is a great chance with Laura Trott, as I say. The men's team pursuit with Geraint Thomas and Ed Clancy. Laura, again, in the Omnium. We shouldn't forget Chris Hoy, who will be in the Keirin, which is always a difficult race to predict, but he can concentrate on that now. And Jason Kenny, the man who's been selected ahead of him in the sprint, will also have a great chance, because if you're going to pick someone ahead of Chris Hoy, I think you must be pretty confident that you're going to go well. And we shouldn't forget Victoria Pendleton, whose battles with Anna Mears on the track will be very exciting. Whether she can repeat what she did in Beijing and win is another matter. But those are real opportunities, I think, for Britain to win a lot of medals in cycling.
Of course, there was a great response to the performance of some of the swimmers in Beijing as well. Obviously, Rebecca Adlington with a great performance with 2 golds. And I get the feeling that there is excitement about Team GB swimmers this time around, but it's mainly for the women, isn't it?
It's entirely for the women, Kevin. It's very difficult to see the men amongst the medals at all. I mean, getting to finals is going to be difficult with the likes of Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte around. But the women have got some serious chances, and Rebecca Adlington, while it would be a tremendous effort to defend both her titles from Beijing, should certainly go well, I think, in the 800 metres, where she's been swimming some really very fast times, world-class times. And one would hope that of 8 real medal chances, that she would certainly look to be one of the gold medal winners. Hannah Miley on the first evening in the 400 metres individual medley is a good chance. Fran Halsall in the sprints, the freestyle sprints is good, another chance. And Ellen Gandy, the Australian who is competing for Britain, who is in the 200 metres butterfly, is also another really live contender. Away from the pool, of course, we have Kerry-Anne Payne in the open water swimming. And she, of course, won silver in Beijing, is a double world champion, and she will take some beating as well. So those are all very good opportunities, I think, in the water. If you were to take the divers as well at the same time, obviously Tom Daly will feature there. He's up against the Chinese, who are the acknowledged world best. But both in the individual 10-metre board and in the synchronised with Pete Waterfield, Tom Daly could go quite close. I'm afraid probably in the water polo we're not going to be strong contenders. The women possibly could spring a surprise there. And in synchronised swimming also, you know, the Russians are so strong, it would be hard to see the British women getting a medal, but they might pull a surprise as well.
Just before we move away from the pool, you mentioned them earlier on, Michael Phelps, Ryan Lochte, that battle between those two could be one of the centrepieces of the Games, couldn't it?
Yes, it will be. And I think all eyes will be on Michael Phelps, really. He's going for one less gold than he had in Beijing. But, of course, he can become the most bemedaled gold or gold bemedaled medalist of all time in the Olympics. And he faces very strong competition. The American trials were very instructive. But we will certainly, I think, have some great drama most nights in the pool.
Probably have plenty of drama on the track as well. We obviously always concentrate a little bit more on the athletics because there are some blue ribboned events in there. And as regards British hopes, how are you feeling going into it?
The athletics, we shouldn't expect a lot of medals, I think, from the British athletics team. There'll be some real highlights, and I think you'd be looking at people like Jessica Ennis, who is a columnist for The Times, who is competing at the very highest level now. She has some stiff opposition from the Eastern Europeans, but is in very good form and may well produce another personal best and repeat what Denise Lewis did in Sydney. We've got Di Green in the 400 metres hurdles, and while the Americans on paper look quicker than Di, he is the tough of the track, really, and will get stronger through the rounds. The rounds will take it out of the athletes, and Green is very good at coming through towards the end. Christina Horrigou is always somebody in the 400 metres who competes very well when we come to the big events. She's a slightly forgotten woman of British athletics. Robbie Grabars is a very exciting high jumper who's suddenly come from nowhere and has jumped amongst the world's best heights this year. And Jessica Ennis, if she does well in the heptathlon, may go for the individual hurdles, sprint hurdles. And she and Tiffany Porter would be both live chances of medals in that. We have Mo Farah, obviously, running the distance events, and the 5,000 and 10,000 metre races will pitch him against the Africans. But he's shown that he can do well and would be considered for a medal there. Holly Bleasdale is a relatively unknown pole vaulter. And while we won't expect her to win gold with Isinbayeva in the field, she's shown great potential this year. Our relays are always good for something. The men, both over the 4x1 and 4x4, and the women over the 4x4, are chances. We shouldn't forget Philip Sodowu, although he has some illness and injury problems, which may just hamper him when he gets to compete, if he can get there. And Greg Rutherford in the long jump, obviously good as well. And in the triple jump, we have Yamila Aldana, who is also an interesting competitor who could certainly make the final and cause a surprise there.
I can't move on from the track and field without asking your thoughts on the big 100 metres showdown. Usain Bolt is having his crown very much challenged, isn't he, by his compatriot Johan Blake.
Yes, I mean, I think the easy thing to say was, I think a Jamaican will win the 100 metres, which one is another matter. And, of course, we mustn't forget that Tyson Gay and Justin Gatlin, the Americans, are running very quickly as well. So that could really be an exciting race. And it'll put Bolt under some pressure, especially after his false start at the World Championships last year. And he'll need to run and concentrate. And I think if he concentrates, I think he will win. And Blake probably is going to be the strongest competitor. But from the British point of view, Kevin, you know, 8 medals is the target, and that's very tough, I think. And that just shows you how difficult it's going to be, I think, to win British medals on the track and field.
In terms of Team GB's overall medal prospects, what do you think would be a realistic aim?
The target they've set themselves of 48 medals in 12 sports is realistic. I suspect that's being conservative. 48 is one more than they won in Beijing, which was a terrific effort. And they also want to finish fourth in the medals table behind the US, the Chinese and the Russians. The competition there is going to come from the likes of Germany and Australia, obviously. But the Times has been running a virtual medal table for a couple of years where we've looked at performances in the major championships and based it on form and fitness. And our virtual medal table going into the Games, and it's bang up to date, suggests that we could win as many as 63 medals, which would be an absolutely terrific effort and would probably put us third in the table. So somewhere between those two, around the 50-55 mark, would be more than the pass mark.
And of course, the excitement's building ahead of the opening ceremony. What do you think we can expect?
We can expect a spectacular. I don't think along the lines of Beijing, because that was a completely different circumstance. But I think we can expect a green and pleasant land. We can expect clouds and cows. We can expect drummers, as they always are in opening ceremonies. Whether we're going to have the Britishness reflected in royalty or in James Bond, who knows? It's been very closely guarded. But I think Danny Boyle and the team will have done a marvellous effort, and it'll be very interesting to see how that plays and also who is chosen to light the flame in the stadium.
OK, David, well, moving perhaps away from the three main sports, do you think there are any other major medal prospects out there?
Well, if we're going to achieve the 48 medal target, Kevin, it's quite clear that the likes of cycling, sailing, rowing will have to come to the party and help out. So the likes of Kath Granger and Anna Watkins amongst the women rowers, Ben Ainslie obviously amongst the sailors, our equestrian team and particularly the dressage team look very strong. We can expect strong showings and performances from our triathletes, the Brownlee brothers and Helen Jenkins. And obviously the boxers too, I suspect, normally pick up a few medals, and there are a couple of very good hopes there too.
Well, that's it for this week. I'll be back next Friday with the next edition of the Ultimate Sports Podcast.